there's fan de rest pigeons. There's a couple of fan hays. There's a couple of Darden pigeons. There's a couple of a good few what's the names? There's fan de mer. There's fan rails, Hudson fan rail pigeons there. The Hudson fan rail pigeons are in the shed a long time, you know.
These are all Belgian?
They're all Belgians. They're all Belgian pigeons, you know. They're all Belgian strains. Then there's an Osman family of pigeons in there as well. They're the English pigeon, you know. They're a very good family of pigeons. They were cultivated by Colin Osman, you know. I'm about 80, and I know them all. I know each and every pigeon that's in the pigeon shed, and I can pick out if there's a stranger there on the roof. I know it's not, you know what I mean. I know it's straight away a different pigeon. Now it can be the same colour as my own, but I know it's not mine, you know. And I can more or less tell when they're flying, even if there's strange pigeons in with them, you know.
Do you count them every night?
No, I haven't counted. The last person to count my pigeons was Larry Kyo. I don't count my pigeons at all. Larry, last time Larry was down, he said, you must have 100 now or that, and Larry count them up. Larry would go, you know what I mean? There was no malice or anything in it, just only for the thing. I don't know, we don't know. I'd say there's 80 there.
So how do you know if there's one missing?
I know if there's one missing. As soon as I come into the pigeon shed, I know. Because you all have kind of their perches and that, and I know exactly what pigeons should be in it. I don't know how many's in it. I know there's 80, but I don't know how many be in there at a given night, you know. And then when I have them racing, then they were last week at 40 away. I was missing 4. I'm still missing the 4. But I knew exactly what 4 pigeons was missing out of the 40.
Will they come back?
I don't think so. You know, you have to lose pigeons. If you didn't lose pigeons, there's an awful lot of obstacles in the way. You know, you have trees, you have fellas shooting them, you have wires. You know, they're fairly, well, I thought they were good pigeons, but they didn't come home, and that's it, you know. And in the course of the year, that's how you thin yourself out, you know. There's so many things that happens to them on the way up that you lose them. And if you didn't lose them, you'd be swamped out, you know. Percentage-wise now is fairly good, you know, in returns. Now, that's only 5 lost this year altogether, and we're down to the 4th race. You know, that's including training, where you could send them away to Arkla and you get a bang with the wires and that, and you could 5 or 6 pigeons missing. So we've had a lucky year so far this year, you know.
You'd start by visiting lofts and get to know the fancier especially. And after the fancier gets to know a young chap, there's a pigeon saying, take him under his wing. And he would give him some young pigeons. Most fanciers are only too glad to help a beginner. And they would generally give pigeons free to these young lads. After that, they'd have to settle them to their loft, keep them in for a while. If they were old birds, they'd have to pair them up and get them used to the place, and then try them out, eventually to settle them. If they're young birds, they get them when they're about 3, 3.5 weeks old. At that stage, they put them out on the loft on a landing board and let them look around and get used to the vicinity. After that, the young pigeons will go in and out and they'd be settled. They won't fly away after that. Then they take it in stages. Then after that, they would have to train the pigeons. They'd have to buy a basket. If they wished to race, they'd have to buy a clock. Then they could start, and for 1 year just train the pigeons and breed from them and get established. Then they would join a club, a local club, and get to know the fanciers and race the pigeons then at that stage.
How do you train pigeons?
Well, you have to train them in mileage, a couple of miles each day, we say.
But how do you make them fly a couple of miles?
Well, the thing is, you bring the birds away in the basket, we say about 3 miles, and liberate them. And the birds will home on their own instincts, you know, to the loft.
They'll be home before you are?
Well, yes, I suppose, near enough. And then the next morning, you bring them a little bit further and a little bit further. You build up their confidence to get home on a long race, like, you know.
Has anyone ever worked out what the homing instinct is?
No, I don't think so. As far as I know, they haven't worked out. It's a thing they haven't, got to the bottom of. You know, and they've tried for years to work it out, and it's just as well they haven't, because it's more of an enjoyment if you don't know what makes the pigeon.
You can take the pigeon any direction?
Any direction. You can take him north, south, east or west, and he'll try his utmost to home as quickly as possible. The actual breeding of the birds is the thing. What the lads come along in regards to the breeding for the trying thing, they pair their best pigeons to their best pigeons. And what I mean, the best pigeons, the best producing pigeons as they've found over the years for the breed of, with their best racing pigeons, the pigeons that had to put up the best performance, find that way the offsprings off them throw fairly decent ones, you know. You have a better chance of getting good ones that way, you know.
And how close do you breed?
Well, I breed personally myself, mother to son, father to daughter, grandfather to the granddaughter, you know, right the way down along. You hit on a little bit of trouble by going in fairly close, but it's very small, you know.
The blood becomes
a thing. You get slight deformities like web feet, odds and ends, different shape kind of. You know, they're not all uniform. And you know, sometimes you get big pigeon out of them, or that again they turn into a fairly small pigeon. You know, so you have to then recross back out, bring in a different pigeon into the family of pigeons.
If you have a family of pigeons, I wouldn't introduce at all, not for maybe 15 years, you know. You'd have to wait until you see signs that they slow up in racing or that, you know. Well, the fanciers generally keep them. One family of pigeons for maybe 20, 30 years without crossing, you know. But then later on, they cross they try the youngsters. And if they prove good, they breed in. And if they don't, they eliminate them and they try another cross.
Around about the 28th of February, then, you would pair up. And if you had stock pigeons, you would pair up a little earlier. And pigeons for the longer races that we have, you might hold them back and pair up in the middle of March. And basically, once a pigeon is paired up, it will stay together until they're separated again.
They're monogamous, are they?
They are indeed, yeah. And they're very adulterous too. If the cock is away, especially with yearling pigeons, they would tend to pair up the following morning. You'd see them running to another cock in the loft.
Well, if you want to pair a cock to a hen, does it necessarily follow that they will mate?
Most times they will. You might have a bit of trouble, but eventually you settle them if you take your time and be patient with them. The way we pair the pigeons together is we have a nest box for each pair of pigeons, or a nest print on it, and you put the hen and cock in the box. and they'd pair up in the box to settle down. But if the cock is too vicious, you take the hen out, leave her away for a day, and throw her back again, and eventually they'll pair up.
Or if you have the space, you could have an empty compartment. You could leave, if you take the rest of the pigeons out and let one cock in, and he has a box of his own, and then you lock the other boxes up and you introduce the hen in, and eventually then they will get very affectionate, and the cock will go to his box and will call the hen up to his box, and the hen will follow. And then when you have that part of it done, you can do the following thing the next day with another cock and introduce him into his box. Well, he would have a box, and introduce another hen in. There's a lot of different systems in it, but that's basically it. And once they pair up,
in a bowl too for them to have their eggs, you know, a nest bowl, that encourages the cock to call the hen to the nest, and once he calls her there, he's paired for that year anyway, you know.
If you want to pair up to four or five different hens at the same time and all stay happy together, like a commune, let them all live in together and let them think. I know myself what all my pigeons are bred off, but I let them take their own course, and they're more content to coming home to their loft, you know. It's the natural system, pure natural, soul natural, you know.
How faithful are they, the cock to the hen?
There's some of them there that are very faithful. There's other than dens that run with anything at all, run with any owl hen, you know. But there is certain cocks that'll only pair to certain hens, and you can't split them. You might split them for a couple of weeks, and then next minute, he's back to the same old hen, you know. I had one fella there now, and tried to pair him to one hen for 5 years. He'd half pair to her, and then he'd leave her. No way, he wouldn't have her. She wouldn't have him.
And then when the hen is due to lay, the cock, what they call, drives the hen. He chases her all round the place. When the minute she leaves the nest box, he chases and chases her all the time until she goes back to that nest box, and he protects her all the time.
When a cock is driving the hen hard and that, and they're up in the air, the cock will fly with the hen. He'll pick her out of the batch, and he'll fly on top, you know, on top of the hen. He'll do that for and in such time as the hen lays. That's a cock now that's driving very, very hard, you know. And then you'll have him then, when he's on the roof, he's baiting her down into the nest box. He wants her to go down and lay. He's happy then when she's at the laying, you know. It's extraordinary, you know.
How long would he fly over?
Oh, depending how long they're exercising. I've had them here now, and they've been flying for an hour like that. A solid hour without landing, you know. And then he'd come down, hit the roof, and thing, and he'd bait her down into the nest box. You know, and that procedure go on for maybe 5 days. She generally lays between the 7th and the 10th day. You know, that's a good constant hen that it lay quick, you know, and that's the way it is, you know, with them. They enjoy it.
And a lot of people race cocks in that condition. They send the cock to the race point.
He's most keen in that condition.
Because
you know,
he'd be very keen to get back. Or you could put another cock in his nest box and let him see the cock in it when he's in that particular cycle.
It's a kind of jealousy.
It's a jealousy thing, yeah. What were you saying there?
All these things are tried to win the race.
You get a hen pigeon when an egg is due to chip, when it's chipping out, and you send the hen away then, and she come back quick to the...
Or a hen on young youngsters only hatched out a couple of days, and she's really keen to, you know, to cover them. You could put her into the race now with a bit of confidence, it says,
and they have
get results for you, you know.
It's like if you're...
Here's what they call the widowhood system. They have a team of cock pigeons in the loft on their own, no hens near them. And they have a team of hens in another section, which the cock can't see them. They generally keep them darkened. Before the race, then, they put the hens in with the cock for a half an hour before they send them to the race. And when the cock comes home, then the hens are in their nest box and they trap real quick into them. They train them to do this when they exercise them each day. They put the hens in the box so the cocks will know they're there when they come home. And they generally race very well. In fact, fact, there's one man won in England. He won, I think, 51 races with the one pigeon.
Champion breakaway, wasn't
Champion
it?
Yeah. Breakaway on that system.
He's on the widowhood system. Yeah. You know?
It's a very awkward thing to try because you need an awful lot of space. Like, they can't, they're not supposed to hear the hens, apart from seeing them, to hear them even.
It's a good way to raise
the only time to see them is when they when they're in the nest box when they come home from a race.
It's a good way to raise the board because the board is healthy all the time. The cock board.
It has no
and there's no eggs or anything disturbing them, you know. He's only keen on the hen and the evening of the race that you're gonna mark the boards, you as Tommy says, you put the hen in for a few minutes and the cock goes up to her there clapping his wings. He's keen to get to her. And as he's calling her into the bowl, you just put your hand in for the cock, take him and mark him in for the race. And he's as keen as mustard then to get back. You know?
The only thing about it I don't particularly like is that the hens are not raised. You know, it's purely
you keep the hens
cocks.
Home all the time, you
the
see.
The hens never, they don't raise, so...
Because you have to have the hen.
You could have a good hen there
back,
or something, you know. This.
Well, they do raise hens on the same system.
Yeah, they do. Some of them try, but... it's mostly the cocks they try on that
it's mostly the widower cocks that they do that particular thing with.
But even after you try all these things and wouldn't win, you know, it's just a chancy thing, you know.
Well, I think myself that it's the environment, they adapt to an environment, they have to have the love of the shed, you know, the love of the love of the home or the love of their nest box, and they're contented in it. I mean, I've boards out there now and they're not even nesting in the shed. They've two young ones underneath me book shed. You know, and still in all the sample room for them for nest boxes and all. But they prefer to go under there. So I just left them. The two young ones hatched out a fortnight ago. Two nice young ones, they're wrong and all. And they just want to get away from the others and they want that little con, that place for themselves. You know. So I left them. I let the boars do whatever they want to do. The Belgian pigeon now seems to be the in thing. They go in for it in a bigger way than what we do here. It's big, you know, their pigeon lofts is like this big club room here. It's like a big house. I could show you photographs, actually I was looking at them today. The bungalows on Killiney Heights, that's £200,000. These pigeon lofts in Belgium are the same thing, with tiled roofs and the whole lot, you know.
There's a big one out there, isn't there?
There is, the Ponderosa. That's one of them.
One
that's a big stud,
Ponderosa.
You know. And they have acres of land with pigeon lofts in them, you know.
Tell me about the big studs.
Well, it's Marcella in England. He has hundreds of different families of pigeons. And he buys them in, pays big money for them. And then he breeds them and resells the young after them, you know. And then
would anyone here have a pigeon out of Marcella's?
I have some now at present. I have about five different breeds direct from Marcella's now.
And what did they cost you?
Well, actually they didn't cost me anything. I got a present of them from a friend of mine who bought them direct from Marcella, you know.
But what would they cost?
What would they cost? Well, Marcella himself might pay 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, maybe more for the pigeons. He might even pay more.
Nice, yeah.
And then he'd sell the stock maybe for them. He might charge you £100 for six young ones. And after that then, it's up to yourself to throw them.
But they're well bred?
Oh, they're well bred, yeah.
They range, expert. They range from the Marcella stud from 1,250 to about £1,000. Depending on which what you want. If you want grandchildren, great-grandchildren, if you want direct children off the champions, as you go up the ladder, the dearer they get. But they have, for every man's pocket, poorest man can afford a pigeon out of the mozzarella stud.
Blood, I suppose, will tell in the end. You know, if you have a particular strain, it's like the racehorses again, you know, like they buy in particularly O'Brien, to go back to just to the horses for a minute, they buy the blood from down from Northern Dancer and in the hope that they will get another Derby winner. And it's the same with the pigeons. You don't know really by looking. The basket usually tells, you know. And as Thomas said earlier on, then the performance of the pigeons, you put the best to your best. And you hope then that you will produce a very good one.
But on appearance, you can't judge.
Oh, well, it's nice to handle it, a nice, you know, board with a quality in the wing and that, you know. And a nice side, nice head to go with it, you know, like a nice quality pigeon. Everything sort of tones in together with the board.
A good balance, Paddy.
Good balance, yeah. Good balance in your.
How do you judge balance?
Well, you get to know the quality of a board and the feel of a winning pigeon, you know. And from then on, you sort of judge it yourself, you know.
They all come in different shapes and sizes, but it's mainly, I mean, there's fairly big, large pigeons that can fly fairly, very good and put up fantastic performances. The small, little, medium-sized pigeon. Dependent on the individual, what type of pigeon he likes. There's some fellas like big, robust cock pigeons, and there's other fellas like small, little, you know, little handfuls.
They'll
all fly as equally as good. You know, when you go through all the champion racers, as we call, they all vary in size, and they all look different. You know. And it's if you looked at the pigeon without looking at the performance, say, geez, that thing wouldn't fly now, right? Mm. I wouldn't have that. But when you'd look down the performance of the pigeon, probably had to win the Scottish National, you know what I mean, where there'd be 10, 12, 20,000 pigeons participating, you know. But they've all different looks, and they've all different characters. You know, it's very hard, really. It's each individual likes his own type of pigeon.
Each member has his measurement, his distance from the race point to his loft.
Down to yards.
Yeah. Down to points of a yard. And each fancier's measurement is different. So when they make up, when you go to find the winner of the race, you have to make out a velocity, how many yards a minute the pigeon flies at. So to get that, you have to get the distance down to 60ths and the flying time of the board down to 60ths, and you divide one into the other and you get the velocity, how fast the pigeon flies, and the pigeon flying the most yards a minute wins the race. Oftentimes it might go to the third decimal point before you get a winner. When you come down to race mark the boards, you you bring your boards to the club room in the pigeon basket, and there's a committee here that marks race, what they call race marks the pigeons. They have a race sheet with all the boards you've entered on the race sheet, with their ring numbers, the colour and sex. They have a ringer which you put the rubber ring on, and the secretary marks down as you race mark the pigeon. The secretary, the handler, calls out the ring number on the metal ring. The secretary writes it down on the sheet. Then they place a rubber ring on the pigeon's leg, and they call out the number from a slip of paper, an outside number, and that corresponds with the outside number on the rubber ring, and that's put into the envelope until all your boards are race marked, and that envelope is sealed, and the same procedure for each fancier. Then after the race, you clock your pigeon in, you put the rubber ring into a thimble, and you place that thimble in the clock, and you pull the lever, and it stamps the time, records the time that you put the pigeon in.
So we have two big transporter lorries in Dublin, and it caters for all the clubs around, you know. we bring our crates, as you see here, we have them cleaned and painted nice. We bring them in with the boards into Smithfield Market, and they're put onto the lorries in there, and from there they have to go to the race points, whether it be in Clonakilty or Yall or Skibbereen, somewhere like that, and they're liberated the next morning down there around 12 o'clock maybe or 1 o'clock, and we wait in the gardens then for our boards to come back, you know, with a can of corn that to encourage the board into the loft, and we wait for about an hour probably, you know, prepare the loft out. You probably clean the loft that morning, that garden and the whole lot, you know, while you're waiting for the board. And when the pigeon comes, then it's a great thrill to watch the board break and head for the loft and get in, and you have to catch him then and remove the rubber ring and clock him into the clock, you know.
The trapping end of it is the snag, you know. See, I get bad trapping because I have my pigeons. They can come in if they want to come in. If they don't want to come in, it's just, you know, we don't get annoyed at it. So I enjoy it. Give the freedom here all day. They're out since first light this morning, because the shed was open all night, you know. So you leave the shed open. I don't have to lock the shed because the dogs goes into the shed and they don't do them any harm, you know. So, I mean, I've no trouble with any cats or anything around the place. As you can see, the place is all fenced in, so they don't think pigeons enjoy themselves.
And they don't mind the dogs?
Oh, no. See, the dogs generally go into that nest box there, and there's a pigeon sitting there. I have photographs, actually, of them inside. They'd sit and lie in the pigeon shed. No one. With the pigeons. Then the babby goes in around the pigeon shed. So, I mean, there's no way. The more or less, they're tame. We don't like wild pigeons. The wild pigeon upsets the routine in the shed. You know, if you brought in a pigeon now and he was extremely wild, all the pigeons seem to get wild. Where they come around us here and they enjoy themselves, you know. Well, it pays an awful lot. It takes an awful lot to upset them then on a race day. You know, if they pour into their mind to come in when they come home on the race day, there's nothing that'll deter them. I mean, there can be double sheets hanging on the line there, and still in all the pigeons that come in, no bother. You know? It's just they're inclined to mess a lot. Mess around, you know. If they haven't got that little extra thing for to go home into the loft, you know, the extra little drive for to get to the youngsters or to get to the eggs, takes all the time, you know. That's how you lose races. Doesn't matter in long races because the boards are well split up. But when you're racing up Borland, the boards are all on top of one another, all on the same decimal, and that's where, you know, it's more or less a trapping competition.
This chap I know, Jerry Power, he's in the South County Invitation. He was racing on Saturday from the same race point, but a different club, you know, and he went home on Saturday night. And his mother said that there was a pigeon she had let in later. It was fairly late in the evening. And he said all his pigeons were home. So he went out to the loft and put on the light, and there was a pigeon there. And he knew it was the pigeon he lost in France. But he couldn't believe it, so he went back in, looked up his books, even though he knew it was the same pigeon. And there it was back.
And when had he lost it?
It'd be nearly a year, 12 months. Give or take a year, within 6 weeks.
And took a year to find its way home.
Pigeon was back there, yeah. But it was in very good condition, so it was probably in somebody else's loft.
See, probably on the way home, the board got a bit tired and he pitched out to another man's loft, probably in England or in Cork even, you know, and he had the pigeon in for the winter, and he looked after the pigeon, and when he was healthy enough then, he took off. And that's how he got the board back.
Mm. I've had pigeons come home after 3 and 4 years, Missy. You don't know where they've been, but they've probably been in maybe young chaps starting up pigeons, and pigeons would go into them and they'd keep them. And then when it comes to the winter, when they separate them from their mates, the first thing they think of is home, and they fly straight home to their original land.
They never lose the homing instinct. They always have that.
after race day, I'll put out the bat. You know, on Sunday morning, the bat's out for them. And then I take the bat away then on Monday. And I put it back out on Tuesday. And I take it away on Wednesday. After Wednesday, then they can't have a bat because I like them to try and get a bit of bloom back on them for the racing at the weekend, you know. But they lap up a bat. Kind of freshens them up after a sprint. You know, after they've had a little bit of a race, they like to get into the bat and relax. It's surprising now. They'd all try and get in at the one time. Place between. We mortar then for a spot, getting on one another's backs and all, you know. And they'll dust then in the sun up here on the walk. They'll have a good thing and stretch their wings. And it does them good, you know. Apart from keeping them clean, I think it does them good, you know. Like yourself, when you be tired, you'd want the bat. And I suppose the same with the old pigeons, they like to freshen themselves up, you know. That's basically on the bat thing of it, you know.
The most commonest disease amongst them is respiratory disease. And there's 9 forms of respiratory disease. And it's a mucus, what they call, it's in the throat. And it's like a form of it's like a bronchial complaint. And this basically stems from inexperience, but
overcrowding
the pigeons in the loft and
keeping too many boards.
Keeping too many and not enough ventilation
in a confined space, you know.
So
too many.
The hot air will rise up, and if there's not enough continuous flow in and out, it stays in pockets, and especially it's dominant with young pigeons more than old pigeons, because they're under a lot more stress, because you don't really have to get young pigeons ready. So they'd be raced nearly every other week.
What other diseases?
They suffer from pigeon pox, which is it's like a growth on the eye just here, and on the wattle it grows in the mouth, but it goes away very quick if you just treat it. You can treat it with iodine or
iodine
and just leave it and it'll go away itself, you know.
Canker is a very bad, that is one of the worst diseases that can strike a pigeon.
You have to dispose of the board when he gets canker. It's a dreadful disease, you know, and you have to dispose on it, you know, because if you held a board like that in your loft for any length of time, it would be all through the whole race team, you know, and it'd be ruined for the whole season, you know. So you have to, if he has canker, you have to put them down. So different kinds of pigeon food. We have maize, maple peas. We have kind of a horse bean, tick bean. We have all kinds of. We have a flax seed, hemp seeds, all kinds of
seeds.
To get them into condition, they have to have all these things at certain times, you know. And you have to keep it at the right, you know, ration for your boards. If you keep it too much or too little, the board can go off form. You have to keep it to a happy medium in the loft, you know.
Are there any special foods you give them for racing?
Well, there's a lot of Belgian mixes on the market now. Like years ago, there was only basically corn and peas, but you have a lot of Belgian mixes now, different types. There's 8 or 9 different feeds now in the last couple of years has come onto the market. And basically, what the fanciers do is they get a mix, and if it's successful for them, well, they more or less stay on
mix
that particular
mix. Their own
sort
of way, you know, their own blend of stuff, you know.
And another man might use something else, you know. You might be feeding something different and winning, and I'm feeding something completely different and winning. But basically, the foods don't vary all that much.
You knew Tommy was a pigeon man before you married him, did you?
Sort of.
And you still took him on?
Well, I didn't realise to the extent the pigeon man.
Well, how bad is it being a pigeon man, do you find? Is it all day, every day?
All day, every day, yeah.
Mm. Is it true that he flew pigeons on his wedding day?
Yeah. Mm.
And what about family occasions? Like?
Oh, you just don't go. You just don't go. Because he just wants to be with his pigeons, so you don't go anywhere.
Well, what do you think of the pigeons?
They're all right. I wouldn't have the same interest now as he'd have. Some wives now do. They're okay, kind of, you know. But
you'd have some interest in them, would you?
A bit of interest. Like, if he wasn't here, which is, it'd be unusual, I'd clock them for him at that, you know. But that's about it, you know.
And what about people in and out of the house all the time?
Well, you don't really mind that. You get used to that.
They come early and stay late?
Well, when I get up out of bed in the morning, there's usually a couple here, and when you're going to bed at night, you're still a couple there, you know. So
pigeon men?
Yeah, all pigeon men, yeah.
And do they talk of anything else?
No, just pigeons. Very rarely. Just pigeons all the time.
It gets some great enjoyment there, but it's a great, you know, for to get a pigeon now to come out of France or to come out of Guernsey. You know what I mean?
On the day.
On
it's
the
like
day.
Competing in the Olympic Games.
It's,
you know, it's one of them achievements.
It's
to say
that
you
know what I mean? It's very, very thing. And it's great. It's really, you know, you get a great kick out. Now, you might be paddy last,
yeah,
but you still get the enjoyment. It's
at the end of the
year,
you know, you've achieved
it's
something.
It's, you know what I mean? When you get a pigeon out of these places, it's the end of the year, your year is made.
It's a hobby. It's a whole time hobby. It's a 365 day a year hobby. Racing, breeding, racing, showing in the winter. You have no time off. You've no time for any other hobbies.
It's a clean
it's
hobby too.
It's a backyard hobby. You're at home. If you go out, you might just be out for a few hours to get your clock set, mark the pigeons, put you back home again. You're in the garden all the time. You're out in the sun. It's a good, healthy hobby.
And
the fanciers in it are all very generous.
Yeah. They help each other an awful lot, the fanciers.
Beginners and everything else. And it's a good all-round sport. Good, healthy sport.
A lot of men, too, in the winter, like, they're working all day, so it's dark when they get home. And they, most of them, they have lights in their lofts. And they go straight out to the loft. And they make sure everything is right there, and they feed their birds.
Yeah.
If they're not on the hopper, they go out then at night and they spend a couple of hours out there cleaning and whatnot. It's, as Tom said, it is a 65-day-a-year task.
You have young boys of maybe 14 racing, up to men 80, 90 years of age.
It keeps them off but the streets too, the young boys.
No.
If you do get interested in the pigeons,
race.
It's a great thing to keep the youths off the streets, as I said. It keeps them out of trouble, because if they come to the club, you know, there's a lot of rules in the pigeon club, and once they take to the sport, they put their hearts into it, and they sort of seem to behave
and
on the streets as well.
It's a known fact that once you keep pigeons, you're never without them.
Yeah, it's
if you give up pigeons,
you'll always
you're
come
back
right
again.
There's all little tricks, and all the fellas is doing the same tricks.
You're hoping to
you
help
know.
Too, Dan.
And
they're
this is the whole thing.
I
you
might
know.
Add, by the way, this is one of the most competitive clubs in the borough, isn't it?
Yes, it
if
is.
If you win a race in the Noggin Club, you can be assured that you have won a race.
You know, they're it's real sincere pigeon men. You know. And you'll always get the element where there's a couple that doesn't give a care. But 99% of the men...
You're in your loft every chance you get.
Yeah.
I mean,
but there is the odd one who comes into the sport, you know, and he comes up with the boards and throws them into the basket there, and he doesn't clean out the loft and all, you know, and he has the corporation up onto him then about dirty lofts or rats and that, because he's too lazy to clean the loft out, you know, and hasn't the time. He's doing this, that, and the other, and he's only slap-hazard throwing the boards in, you know.
Not real pigeon fanciers.
Not pigeon fanciers at all.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at. Like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.